The title of my message today is Love Without Limitations. I'm going to read Ephesians 3, 14. Matter of fact, I'm going to read a lot out of the Mirror Bible today, verses 14 through 21. We have been talking about, this is part three of the love shift. We've been talking about a radical love shift that Jesus was revealing as a man with God living in him. He was all God. He was all man. Jesus was revealing that. I think the next person that really began to catch on was maybe John, I don't know, or for sure Saul, who became Paul, that wrote a lot of our epistles. I believe that he was seeing the reality of what Jesus had been presenting all through his earlier life as a member of the Sanhedrin, as he was hanging out with the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. I believe that Paul began to make that shift. I mean, his name even changed from Saul to Paul. I believe that there was a radical love shift going on. And as I've just, over the last few weeks especially, I just see that the love of God is without limitations. I think that whenever we put limitations on love, we put limitations on God, because God is love. I believe whenever we put limitations on love, we put limitations on God. And whenever we put limitations on God, we begin to put limitations upon ourselves, and we begin to identify with our limitations. But let me continue to remind you this morning that love is without limits. Love has no limitations. God has no limitations. You have no limitations, because you and God are one. I believe that this God-man, Jesus, was revealing the nature of his Father for the first time. John chapter 1 says, "No man has seen God," verse 18, "no man has seen God at any time." But Jesus began to reveal the depths of who his Father was, and in not only the words that he was speaking, but the actions that he was walking that out in his everyday life. And that is amazing to me, that a man had God living in him could walk that out. And that's amazing to me, because we are men and women with God living in us as one with us, and we are able to walk in a different vein, in a different dimension than we've ever walked in before, as we're going to read here out of the Mirror Bible in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to remind you that Jesus, I believe, in his complete life was revealing all along who we truly were and how we should operate as sons of our Father. If God's love is eternal, it exists, and it has always existed, then our love is eternal. Our love has ever been existent in him. And I know some of these things is sometimes it's hard to get your mind around, because we've been taught things that are opposite of even what I am saying right now. I believe that God's love has always been and has always existed. We have always existed in him. The issue is that God just wants us to see it. I believe that's why Jesus entered the earth realm, was to bring us into the capacity to be able to see the love of God. Now, I don't know if they're going to put the King James Version or the New King James up, and you can read along with that, but I really want you to listen to this out of the Mirror Bible. I think you can do both. I do it all the time. I have 12 Bibles laying out, reading all of them at the same time. Here we go. It says in verse 14, "Overwhelmed by what grace communicates, Wow. This is why I bow my knees in awe before the Father. Every family in heaven and on earth originates in Him. His is mankind's family name, and He remains the authentic identity of every nation. I desire for you to realize what the Father has always envisaged for us, so that you may know the magnitude of His intent and be dynamically reinforced in your inner being by the Spirit of God. I believe He's talking about in your mind, in your thought processes. This will ignite your faith to fully grasp the reality of the indwelling Christ. You are rooted and founded in love. Love is your invisible inner source, just like the root system of a tree and the foundation of a building. Love is your reservoir of superhuman strength. Just think about that. Love without limitations. Our whole society is captivated by Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. Would you all agree with me? I mean, our whole society is encapsulated with those kinds of things, because I think those superhumans, what it says here, superhuman strength, I think that it draws us outside of the realities of our circumstances, because superhuman strength will be able to overcome anything that is thrown at it. I love that. Love is your reservoir of superhuman strength, which causes you to see everyone equally sanctified in the context of the limitless extent of love's breadth and length and the extremities of its dimensions in depth and height. And I looked up some of those words in the Greek, and one of those words was one of the definitions in a couple of different places that I found was the depth of God's mystery. And Paul said that the mystery that had been hidden from ages past, that he began to write it down and he began to verbalize it. And to a people who had been under a system of man and a system of thinking that was totally opposite of what God had originally intended for us to operate in. And to me, that is so powerful right there, because there are limitless degrees, this is my terminology, there are limitless degrees of mystery that we may have not seen the reality of yet, but those mysteries have already been brought forth even by the things that Paul was writing in the New Testament. The problem has been that we've been blind to it. There's been a veil over our eyes and over our ears. And you say, well, Pastor Terry, not over ours. No, I think he's still over ours. I think it's so much deeper than anything that we've ever been allowed to consider in the church, that most people would have called, even some of the things that I've been teaching over the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of churches consider me heretical. Come on. With some of the things that I'm saying. But I'm just looking at it through the lens of Jesus, through the filter of love. I'm looking at it from a different, with different eyes, and I'm trying to say things not to blow people away or to make you doubt your faith, but I am saying things to make you go deeper into the mystery of God. And the bottom line is, no matter where we go in this thing, it always begins and ends in the love of God. Matter of fact, I don't think I have this one written down, but go over to Psalms, I think it's Psalms 46. No, that's not it. I can't think of where it's at. Let me look at one other spot here. Maybe it's Isaiah. You don't mind if I look, do you? Oh, yeah, here it is. It says, and all those verses are really awesome, but I want to read verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Declaring the end from the beginning. So God declared the end. He said the end looks just like the beginning. The beginning was saturated in a Father who is complete and total love, and by people who were complete and total love. That's you. So he speaks the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. The problem is we have a lot of in-between space. The in-between space, I believe, is the in-between space in between your ears that needs to come into the reality is that God speaks the end from the beginning from the end. It is one and the same. God doesn't live in time. Therefore, you have always been loved. You have always been loved. And I know you haven't encountered that. You haven't even encountered that in church. But God wants you to begin to realize the magnificence of His love towards your life, the depths of the mystery of this thing. And I know that I want to stand up here. This is me. And I know that this is none of the rest of you. This is just me. I want to have it all together right now in this moment and say, this is it. But any time that I say this is it, I am limiting the capacity of God to take us further in the journey than we've ever been. Amen. There is no ending with this journey of love. Amen. God is far better than what you think He is. And whenever I used to say that, I had no idea I would be standing at this moment, at this reality. Okay, go back to Ephesians 3. Love is your reservoir of superhuman strength, which causes you to see everyone equally sanctified in the context of the limitless extent of love's breadth and length and the extremities of its dimension and depth and height. Yes, I heard you. And I've been thinking about this. God just reminded me of this, is that we have said that man was rotten to the core. No, you're not. Our thinking has been rotten to the core. But you're not rotten to the core. People identify with that rottenness, and that's why we see the behavior that we have. And listen, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times I can't tell any difference in the behavior of people in church and the people out of church. Yeah. I'm just being honest. I'm not being critical. Because our identity has been wrapped up with getting rid of our rottenness rather than our identity being wrapped up in the fact that we've always been in God, and God wants us to see who we truly always have been, and maybe our behavior will change as a result of that. Next verse, 19. This is what Paul said, I desire for you to become intimately acquainted with the love of Christ on the deepest possible level. Listen to these words. Far, far beyond the reach of mere academic intellectual grasp, within the scope of this equation, because I come, you know, in the heights and the depths and the breadths and the lengths of this, I come up to this point, and I said, God can't be any better than that. And God can't be any better than this because of all of my doctrines. My doctrines won't let God be any better than this. But what if I come up to this place in God and I see God a little bit better than what I thought He was? And I think that's what's going on today. We are seeing beyond where we've been. We're on this amazing journey of not only just talking about the love of God, But encountering the love of God. Last Friday night, I was ministering, but I encountered the love of God in a far greater way than I had ever encountered the love of God. I will tell you, your doctrines will hinder you from going into the heights and the depths and the breadths and the lengths of His love. So let go of your doctrines. I know your grandpappy and his pappy and his whatever before, always, this is what we've always said, but we said a lot of things about hell that wasn't true. But if I'm not willing to let go of my doctrine of hell and go into the depths of God's love and say, hey, maybe this thing that we have thought is a little off base, and I'm being real nice whenever I say that, God is love. I want to go into the depths of the mysteries of God. I want to go where somebody spoke to me a few weeks ago, spoke something over me, and he said, you're like Captain Kirk on Star Trek. You're going to go where no man has gone before. Well, in order to do that, let me say this. In order for me to go where I've never gone before, I've actually got to go there. And then once I go there, then I can begin to release that. And Robin and I talked about something before her message, and I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, I'll tell you, church has not been a very safe place. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring it from another aspect. Church hadn't been a very safe place for you. But it has not been a safe place for me. Not as I grow in my understanding. You say, Pastor, are you talking about us? Maybe. Because whenever I lay things out and I'm experiencing things and I'm seeing things out of the Scripture and trying to relate it the best that I can to you, people leave. And I'm going deeper. I'm not satisfied with being where I'm at because I look around, just like Davey said this morning, I look around at all the circumstances and the drama and the things going on in people's life. And my daughter said to me this week, Dad, I just want this to work. I mean, what does a dad do? I cried after she left. I knelt down on the floor and I said, God, that's what I want. I just want it to work. And I want to let go of all my doctrines. I know that I think that I'm a Bible school student and I already know everything. And I know none of you think like this. You know, you don't know everything, right? How many of you have ever thought, yeah, I've got it together here. Come on. Sometimes we think we've sat under some of the greatest mentors, and I've sat under some great people, and I thought they had it all together, but they didn't have it all together either. And they taught me their shallowness. Now, I embraced it. It's my deal. I embraced it, but I knew that there was something deeper and better and bigger and something that could grab a hold of my life and cause it to work. I don't want to be where I'm at tomorrow, where I was at 40 years ago in the operation of how I operate in my life. Is this okay this morning? Verse 19, far beyond the reach of mere academic intellectual grasp within the scope of this equation, God finds the ultimate expression of their image and their likeness in you. Right now. We celebrate Elohim who supercharges us powerfully from within. Our biggest request or most amazing dream cannot match the extravagant proportion of their thoughts toward us. God is both the author and the conclusion of the glory on display in the ecclesia, the assembled ones mirrored in Christ Jesus. The encore continues throughout every generation, not only in this age, but also in the countless ages to come. In Ephesians 2 says that God, in His love and His mercy, in the ages to come will continually delve out until we come into the realization of who we are. And I believe that the body of Christ is coming up all over the place to a higher level and a higher plane. I believe we're going to walk in places that we've never walked. We're going to be able to do things that we've never become. We are going to be, as the Old Testament talks about saviors, we are literally going to be saviors operating as Jesus in the earth. Because the Bible says, even as He is, so are we in this present moment. Not going to be someday, but we are there right now. Let me make this statement. You can write it down. I believe that, at least in my life at this moment, I am releasing the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde concept of God. God in the Old Testament, bad cop. Jesus, God in the New Testament, good cop. The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde has brought confusion to the body of Christ. It is literally made people schizophrenic. Literally. There is a multiple personality disorder thing that is going on all over the planet because we don't know if God is like Jesus or if God is like the God that we see in the Old Testament. I am coming to a place in my life where I'm not willing to accept that God has ever been angry. Now, I'm coming to that through a lot of study, through a lot of reading, through a lot of understanding. I do not believe that God has ever been angry. And if you cannot believe that God has never been angry, then you can't accept really what Jesus did and said about the Father. We're going to have to let go of the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And as I've been saying over the last few weeks, I think there's things that we can come into understanding of that will help us in our understanding of that. I believe every bit of revelation that we have of Jesus and His life should make us love the Father more, not stand at odds with the Father. If I embrace Jesus as God, then I'm really going to have to rethink everything that I believe about the Scriptures. Not only, I'm trying to change my language. I know that we all do it. We call this the Word of God. And the word, there is a Word of God in here. It points to Jesus, who is the true Word of God. Now, I'm not dissing the Bible. I'm saying that there needs to be some understanding so that we don't think. See, listen, 150 years ago, the church preached slavery out of the Bible and used God as the excuse to do it. It wasn't just, I can't remember the year, but the Southern Baptists still had slavery on their books. And it was just a few years ago that whenever they had their yearly convention, that they actually struck that off of their, whatever they call that thing, bylaws. They actually struck that off their bylaws. It was, you know, somebody brought it up. We kind of don't believe that, do we? Hello? So you can use the Bible for slavery. Listen, you can use the Bible. Ladies, you're going to be on my side on this one. Glory to God. You can use the Bible to make women subservient to men. Most other religions do that all over the world. Jesus said there's no man or woman, no barbarian, Scythian, no. We're all equal. We've always been equal. But men's minds have brought us into inequality. You realize that Jesus was the perfect picture of God. Turn over to Romans 8, 38 and 39. Let me read it out of the Mirror Bible. I need to get this mirror Bible on my phone. Romans 8, 38, 39. This is Paul. He says, this is my conviction. No threat, whether it be in death or life, be it angelic messengers, demon powers, or political principalities, nothing known to us at this time or even in the unknown future, no dimension of any calculation in time or space, nor any device yet to be invented, has what it takes to separate us from the love of God demonstrated in Christ. The Lord Jesus, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is our ultimate authority. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can alienate us. Hello? Nothing can condemn us. Hello? Nothing can condemn us. Nothing can alienate us. Nothing can separate us. And if God speaks the end from the beginning, that means that we were never separated at any point. Colossians says it well, we were alienated in our own mind from the love of God. But like I said a little bit ago, we've had a lot of help. And you say, Pastor Terry, I just can't believe that God is this good. That's because your doctrines say that God is not that good. And you say, well, Pastor Terry, if what you're saying is true, why isn't all these preachers and pastors saying it? Because they don't feel safe in their churches to be able to say it. Most of them would get kicked out if they said anything close to what I was saying. I have a friend, and I'll be careful here. I have a friend, and he pastors a church, and that friend, he said, if I would say that, he said, I'm listening to you, and he said, I agree with you, but if I would say that in my church, they would excommunicate me, and they would take my, they would take my credentials. I'm trying to, what? Thank you very much. Wow. He said they would take my retirement, and I'm not too far away from retirement.
Can you say it after you retire?
Yes, probably. Yeah, and he will. That was my thought, Davey. We think alike. And I'm not mad at him. But see, the whole system is corrupt. But what I think God is doing is he is speaking to people all over the place. There's lots of meetings that are going on where there's little house Bible studies and people meeting outside the church. But see, I've been around long enough. That's what happened in the 70s and the 80s, people coming out of denominational churches because we were taking a step in our journey to go a little bit further than what we were. And we were having to meet in Bible studies and little meetings. And then a guy by the name of Kenneth Hagin, people started being drawn to him. And see, and that's how it worked. And then we get within our system and we bedrock in our system. Yes, did the Word of Faith group grow and understand? Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it hadn't been for that group of ministers and preachers bringing me. But then we do what we said that we would never do. We get locked in like a denomination and we refuse to go any further. And I don't know if I fit, my brain is going wild here. I don't know if I finished about me feeling safe. You've got to feel safe in order to begin to say some of the stuff that I'm saying. So do I feel safe with you guys? Everybody say yeah. I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying it. But it's a progression. And see, our whole system, I tell God this all the time. Sorry, Davey. I tell God this all the time. I do not like the system. Because if I stand up here and say things that I really want to say and the money stops, come on. Come on. Come on. then I begin to back off. Except your pastor doesn't back off. I just keep trudging forward. And the money keeps coming. Thank you, young lady. Regardless. I mean, in all honesty, I try to be an open book. Maybe sometimes too open. I don't know. In all honesty, that's why, you know, I've been working for Domino's for 15 years, but this church, I am not dependent on this church. Now, the church has been paying me something. Everybody go, yay. I'm down to 25 hours a week. Praise the Lord. But I will be honest with you. I would rather work for Domino's full time, and I do well, and Robin does well, and I would rather work there and continue to explore the deep mysteries of God's love and be able to say it to 20 people as opposed to being held back by, you know, if I say this, I know I'm going to lose about half of my crowd. Well, I just watched some stuff about Carlton Pearson. This happened years ago. Does everybody know who Carlton is? You know, he was a very dynamic, charismatic, word of faith. He was in our vein, you know, in my vein of people. And he stood up one Sunday morning. Now, I think I've done it a little differently than he did. He just stood up one Sunday morning and he said, nobody's going to hell. And wow. Do you know that he went from 5,000 or 6,000 people in just a few short weeks down to 400 or 500 people? They left him. And I will tell you I hope we got that on you. I mean, they, preachers in my realm, I remember I didn't say too much. I really didn't, but I was in those circles and meetings with preachers where people were lambasting that guy, you know, and I'm thinking right now, woo, man, you were before your time. You were one brave individual. And see, here we are on this journey. So what am I telling you? You got to give me a little slack so that I can go ahead and say what I need to say every week. Because I think we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere in God that will produce heaven on earth. Wow. Heaven on earth. Look at somebody and say, heaven on earth. Oh, do I want to start this or do I not? No. Let me go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm gonna do this, but I was gonna do some other stuff, but I'm just about out of time here. Philippians 2. In verse 1, I'm going to read it out of the mirror, so I want you to listen to this, and I think she'll probably put it up there with the New King James. Now listen to this. In Christ, our association is most intimate. We articulate His love story entwined in spirit communion and tender affections. Your Christ-mindedness completes my delight. You co-echo the same agape. We are soulmates, resonating the same thoughts. Yeah, I heard you say that. I just heard the Spirit of God say to me, the deeper that we go into the love of God, healings will just happen automatically. It'll just, health will begin to flow in people's bodies without any prayer, without us. You know, sometimes we're trying to get people healed and, boy, we're praying hard. You know, we're doing all this and they're already healed. It's already done. I'm not praying to convince God to give it. Now, I may be praying to convince me to believe that He's already done it, but that's not how we're praying. We're praying in panic and chaos. No hidden agenda with a compromised mixture of leaven or empty philosophical flattery can match a mind that genuinely values others above oneself. But you got to feel that way about you before you'll ever feel that way about me. You need to stand in the mirror and say, I love you. Oh, you think I'm kidding? No, I've been doing that. I stand in the mirror with all of my inadequacies and faults and mistakes, all two of them. I thought that would get some amusing laughter. I look in the mirror and I say, I love you, T.L. That's God speaking to me. I love you, T.L. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. I love you. So I can look at you and I can say, I love you, Tom. I think this goes way deeper than what we think it does. If God spoke the end from the beginning, then he never needed to forgive us. Love never needs to forgive. See, that's why we thought Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood so the Father wouldn't be angry with us. I'm going to go one more week on this series. God's never been angry. He didn't need the appeasement of blood to not be angry with you. Well, why did he need blood? He gave us blood because we wanted it. I'm really leaving you hanging, so that's okay. No hidden agenda with a compromised mixture of leaven or empty philosophical flattery can match a mind that genuinely values others above oneself. To discover your own completeness in Christ frees you to turn your attention away from yourself to other people. The way Jesus saw himself is the only valid way for you to see yourself. His being God's equal in form and likeness was official. His sonship did not steal the limelight from his Father, neither did his mankind distract from the deity of God. It's not only talking about him, it's talking about us. His mission, however, was not to prove his deity, but to embrace our mankind. Emptied of his reputation as God, he fully embraced our physical human form. Born in our resemblance, he identified himself as the servant of the human race. His love enslaved him to us. David, you're going to love this. Verse 8, and so we have the drama of the cross in context. We have the that's what it says. We have the drama of the cross in context. The man Jesus Christ, who is fully God, becomes fully man to the extent of willingly dying mankind's death at the hands of his own creation. He embraced the curse and shame of the lowest kind and dying a criminal's death. From this place of utter humiliation, God exalted him to the highest rank. God graced Jesus with a name that is far above every name. What his name unveils will persuade every creature of their redemption. Every knee in heaven and upon the earth and under the earth shall bow in spontaneous worship. And let me, I'm gonna end with this thought. What God wanted, and you can write these down, and I'll in a couple of weeks I'll come back to this because Davey is preaching next week. Mark 12:33, Matthew 9:13, Matthew 12:7, Mark 12:33, Matthew 9:13, Matthew 12:7, and then Hebrews 10. And what we're going to talk about is the fact that the blood, God did not need appeasement with blood to be okay. And all those scriptures that Psalms chapter 40 correlates with Hebrews 10. You know, God didn't want blood sacrifices. He said, what I want is mercy. They didn't understand that. The law came through Moses, and all the extent of the law had residual effects of his Egyptian bondage and his Egyptian heritage, which the gods of the other gods, which are no gods at all, the pagan gods, the mythological gods, all demanded beautiful women to be sacrificed or children to be sacrificed. And that is not my father. Things entered into Moses' understanding because he didn't have complete understanding even of the way that we see are now seeing things through Jesus. Does that make sense? You say, Pastor Terry, you're throwing out the Old Testament. Oh, no. I'm saying that as we understand some things, I think we will begin to see the reality of Jesus on every page. And whenever you see the reality of Jesus on every page, you'll begin to see your own reality. You know, and I'm not, you know, let me just say this. You were there. You were there in the beginning with God. You were in relationship with God from the beginning, and that's what he spoke as he was viewing the end and the beginning are together. Without time, you have always been in relationship with God. You were there. You were there. Doesn't that make a whole lot more sense than trying to fix us of our rotten corruption? Because people go towards what they believe about themselves. And I just believe that I'm in relationship with God. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Father, we just thank you for bringing us along. I thank you for bringing me along. How many of you thank God for bringing you along? Thank you for the journey. I know sometimes, Father, I've said that the journey is just too hard. But that was my old carnal thinking talking. The journey isn't too hard because in every difficult situation, you're there with us. You're embracing us, and I'm beginning to realize that you are there even in the middle of a bad spot, in the middle of a bad circumstance. You're there helping me in my own mind work past some of my own issues that I've had with myself. Father, you want to bring out the glory in us, and I so revel in the fact that you are a good God. You're not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You are one, and Jesus showed us that. And I thank you that we are coming into the fullness of that. And I thank you, Father, for helping us tweak our stuff. As we're walking this out, we're tweaking things. And it looks messy. It doesn't look like what we want. But, Father, it looks like life. It's messy like life, but you're bringing us out of that mess to bring us into the glorious heights, Father God, of who you are and who we've always been. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody that agreed said, amen. Have an incredible week. I love you guys. Amen.